I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for a second visit to the city of Salisbury in the fine county of Wiltshire. Charles Dickens lodged here while researching his novel Martin Chuzzlewit. It's often said that if he were alive today, he'd be working as an EastEnders scriptwriter. But this seems unlikely. If Dickens was alive today, he'd be 189 years old. And thanks to Ian Duncan Smith, he would have retired months ago. The most famous Salisbury residents of the 1960s and 70s were Dave D, Dozy Beaky, Mick and Titch, and Edward Heath. Heath got himself elected Prime Minister in 1970, citing musical differences. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Tony Hawkes. And to keep a steadying hand on the team's points, please welcome our delightful scorer, the ever-lovely Samantha. Well, we start today with a leaf through the pages of the Uxbridge English Dictionary. We often use words despite not understanding exactly what they mean. For example, I wonder how many know the difference between a lager and an ale. Well, a lager is officially a beer that contains a relatively small amount of hops, is aged for 6 months to allow sedimentation, and is fermented at low temperatures. A lager must have a light, clear, golden yellow colour and an alcohol strength of between 4 and 5% by volume, whereas a nail is what you bang in the wall to hang a picture on. But meanings are constantly changing, teams, so let's hear any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Tim, you can start.
Plonker, even cheaper wine.
Barry?
Terse, what you see at a Yorkshire funeral.
Graham?
Cubic, a biro that you can play snooker with.
Tony?
Unilever. A stick for getting students out of bed.
Picnic. The battle cry of the Liberal Democrats.
Tart. What you look at in gallery.
Befuddle, a tight group of cattle.
Pistachio, facial hair grown while drunk.
Pepperami, what Sergeant Pepper served in.
Dispersal. To slag off a washing powder.
Minstrel, medieval musician who performs monthly.
Biopic, Lembit's easygoing brother.
Tram, male sheep.
Well, this next game is called Cheddar Gorge. In it, the panellists take turns to say a word each, the object being to avoid completing a sentence. Anyone who does complete the sentence will be eliminated, and the last player left is the winner. This week, it's the recipe version of the game. You should each exchange a single word in order to make up the recipe, cooking and serving instructions for a well-known dish. I should give you each the name of an ingredient which you must include. Okay, the dish is toad in the hole. Graham,
yep.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Tony, milk. Tim, flour. And Barry, sausage. So you start, please, Tony.
When
you
try
the
dish
toad
in
the
hole,
you
will
find
milk
is
necessary
for
churning
and
making
the
dish
tasty.
And
moreover,
if
you
want
to
stand
eggs
on
the
top
of
flour,
you
must
have
a
swift
pint
and
a
small
whiskey
before
you
start
cooking.
So,
when
you
open
a
large
tin
of
sausage,
you
will
believe
that
you
can
fly.
Stir.
Can I just say, in my enjoyment of this round, I think I've forgotten to adjudicate because... there have been several sentences coming to an end. I think the audience probably in
yes.
agreement there. And you're all out. So okay. we'll start this again. And what I will do is, in fact, ask the audience to shout out bingo if if you come to the end of a sentence. Well, let's try... let's try dessert now, and this time, with the audience's help, we will judge as we go along. The dish is sherry trifle. Your ingredients are Graham, sponge, Tim, custard. And don't just say custard in no context.
Put the egg on the flour.
No, you didn't. You said put the egg on flour.
Yes. It's on flour, not the flour. There's not a specific flour.
Let's not row in front of everyone.
Oh, there's a change.
Barry,
yes.
Your word is jelly.
Oh, yes.
Tony, you're nuts. I mean, your word is nuts. Sorry. Okay, so will you please start, Barry?
When
standing
your
custard
on
nuts.
Carefully...
distribute
sausage
equally
between
flour
and
nuts.
Yeah, however, I'm afraid, Tony, you are out. The audience were quite right to call that as the end of a sentence, so now it's down to Graham, Tim and Barry.
Who?
To continue with the recipe, Barry.
Oh,
yes.
Me?
Yes, yeah. We're making a radio show, Barry.
Have the visitors been?
You can't see them until you put your trousers on.
They promised me a commode. Too late now. While...
Graham or Tim?
You
fry
sausage.
You
will
find
that
you
have
sponge
on
the
carpet.
Oh,
comma.
Exactly, exactly. No, no, no. What we have here is a grammar off between Tim and Barry, and so off you go, you two.
Oop. Sausage.
And
mash.
Which
you
will
cook
in
a
small
kitchen
while
I
watch
EastEnders.
That is correct. That was the end of a sentence. Definitely.
No, it wasn't.
Sentence.
It was going to go and.
I think it was wishful thinking, frankly, on the...
on the audience. Yeah.
Normally, but I don't think you said the word jelly, Barry, so I don't think I can allow you to be...
robbed at the last minute.
I know, I'm sorry. You have to be... There's no point playing these games if we don't take them seriously. Well, now it's time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first I noticed from the deep pile in the post room that they've had a new carpet fitted and that we've received a letter. It comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. And she writes, "Dear Moneybox Live, I have the answer to the problem of those large bills that come through the letterbox. Shoot the ducks." Yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis. Well, this week we'll be playing the newly launched UKIP version of the game, where players can challenge to have a move excluded if they spot any nasty European or other foreign connections. So, Tim, you can start, please.
Queensway.
Chinatown. Not European.
That's very early to go with something as bold as that.
Well, I have my bold side.
Oh. Show it to us.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on it.
Moorgate?
Just. No. But, I mean, seriously, that opens up two diagonals at least, doesn't it?
That's OK, though.
Which, I know it's OK. I mean, it's to my advantage because I go Waterloo.
Oh.
Well,
we won, be fair.
Clear European connection.
We won.
Under European Directive number 27B32, a sovereign state has the right to include the name of any battle or war that has been won by such a state. So technically, Graham is right, although it seems peevish after all these years to keep mentioning Waterloo. But anyway, he has. So.
Bank.
Bank, okay.
Frognal.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a bit.
Old Kent Road.
Oh, yeah.
East India Dock.
Swiss. No, not Swiss. Wapping.
German Street. Not German, German.
How are you spelling that, please, Barry?
J-E-R-M-Y-N.
Thank you, Barry. Yes,
S-T-R-E-E-T. Yeah.
we can allow that.
It's put me in a terrible position.
I intended to.
Tottenham Court Road. Tottenham Court Road.
Graham?
Hey, Maastricht. Hey, Market. Hey, Market.
Yeah. Hatton Cross.
Norbury.
Mornington Crescent.
The next round is all about movie plots. Tim Brooke-Taylor will be at an obvious advantage in this one, having been a professional actor for nearly 50 years. But it wasn't always certain that Tim would try show business, as he did seriously consider joining a monastery. He had a momentous decision to make, whether to commit to a life of celibacy with no worldly goods or income, or join a monastery. Well, the game is called Rewind, and it takes us back to the age of the VHS video cassette. In it, the teams will describe the plot lines to certain well-known movies as viewed on Fast Rewind. Tony, could you please start?
OK, this is Titanic. Some people are boating in the Atlantic when a big ship pops up, bounces off an iceberg, and takes the people to Southampton.
Barry.
Still a nautical mood. Jaws. Large great white shark spits out body parts and everyone has a nice day at the beach.
Tim.
The Karate Kid. Old man convinces gifted young martial artist to renounce violence, after which he is mercilessly bullied.
Graham.
12 Angry Men. Members of a jury acquit a murderer, then gradually realise their mistake.
Thelma and Louise, a couple of women drive a car up a cliff face, chase cops and have a wild adventure in order to find the boring and meaningless life that they yearn for.
Alien. One by one, space crew members try to befriend an alien, but without success, until John Hurt offers it a cosy home in his stomach.
Full Monty.
Sheffield steel industry is miraculously revived after a bunch of blokes put their clothes on.
Groundhog Day, a really super chap relives the same day over and over again until he becomes a complete arse.
Raise the Titanic. The Titanic sinks.
Around Ireland with a fridge. Tony Hawks pushes a fridge round Ireland the other way.
The next round is based... The next round is based on the TV show called The Dragon's Den. And that's where entrepreneurs who have what they believe is a viable business idea, but who lack funding and advice, pitch their concept to a panel of successful multimillionaires. The format originated in Japan, where it's called Tiger of Money, a pun based on the name of one of their most famous World War II generals. Now, there's a concept to be admired, honouring your favourite war criminals by naming light entertainment shows after them. And they're not alone. That daytime show about buying houses at auction was originally a German format called Homes Under the Himmler. That's with the auctioneer's popular catchphrase, Göring, Göring, gone. OK, teams, the round is entitled The Dragon's Den, the only difference from the original being that our version is set in the past. So, Barry and Graham, you are our first entrepreneurs, and Tim, Tony and I will be the dragons. So, could you please deliver your pitch, Barry and Graham?
Hello, dragons. Our innovation is quite simple. It's something called money.
Yeah.
And we're asking you for 100 sheep, 50 cows and 2 wives... in exchange for 10% of the business.
I mean, just think about it. Instead of having to carry cows and gold around with you, handy money.
Yes, you'd no longer have to ask for change for a sheep. And notes, we've got paper money as well as the metal penny. This one is worth £1, called pound because it's wrapped around a pound of butter.
Yep.
So that's what it's worth. And money, very handy if you mislaid your credit card as
sure.
well.
Have you worked on a business plan for this? I mean, it just seems pie in the sky at the moment. I mean, yeah. Is there a business plan here at all?
Yes, we're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. What, let me ask you a question. What's stopping me from just getting a pound of butter and using the wrapper as money?
Well, he is. He's got a big club. And you can do anything you like with. You can buy things. You can lend it.
Yeah.
You could lend it with interest.
What do you mean with interest? I'm not interested now.
I think it's taken a bit of the fun out of it. You go to a pole dancing club. I mean, used to put a cabbage down the front of her bra. Now, we're just putting a bit of paper down there.
Yeah. You know, once one cabbage is down there, there's no room for everyone else to have a bit of fun. And... it doesn't have to be paper. We can have rubber money.
Yes.
Introduce inflation.
Yes.
And if you don't have money, how do you know how rich you are?
Exactly.
Well, you can count the number of goats and sheep you've got. That's how I know.
Well, if they stand still long enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, your money, it's there on the table,
well,
isn't
look,
it?
Are you absolutely sure that this is going to make us happy?
No. It's going to make us happy.
Well, I like that idea.
I don't see the point of it at all.
No,
if I've got lots of money, what do I do with it?
Give it to them, seems to be what they're saying.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think
yes. And we put it in a bank.
Yes.
A bank?
A bank? What the hell
What's
is that?
What's this, that?
That's where we keep the money. And based on the bank, we develop a stable capitalist system. Nothing can go wrong.
Well, okay. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you all the money that you want for your idea.
And how big a percentage of the business do you want?
I want all of it.
And all the money as well.
Yes, that's the idea. But
come to think of it, I'm willing to make an offer too. I'd like it all plus 10%. So from your bank.
110% of the business you want. Well, I don't know.
Well, 110%.
110%. I wonder if Tony's got an offer, because it was he's the one that we were most interested in doing business with.
We were aiming at him.
Because he looks a bit thick.
I mean, I'll do it for a sheep.
So I've heard.
Yes.
All right, a sheep in exchange for 10% of the business.
Absolutely.
I think we've got rid of those old butter wrappers.
Yes, indeed.
Right, we're on. Thank you very
much.
We're
on. Thank you. Well done.
Right, it's your turn to be entrepreneurs, Tim and Tony. Barry, Graham and I will be the dragons, so off you go.
Well, we've come up with a rather special idea. We've got a thing called The Wheel. We've spelt it W-H-E-E-L, The Wheel. And as we know, this is a square, flat world, and we need something to get from one corner to another.
Mm-hmm. To the four corners of the globe, if you like. Right. What is the globe? Well, we're coming to that, aren't we?
So, if you've got this square, if you cut off the corners with a circular saw...
Yeah.
If such a thing existed...
The world would be like a 50-pence piece if such a thing as money existed.
Yeah. Imagine if we were to create this shape like that, and then continue to smooth the edges still further... Tim.
Absolutely. Well, think of the Tour de France. It's very boring, just these men carrying bits of metal up and down hills, you know. But if you smoothed out the 50p, they would just shoot around.
Yeah, especially if you gave them enough drugs.
Well, you obviously... we're coming to that later.
Another area.
Yes.
Currently, at the moment, you've got all these planes flying around up there, completely unable to land.
Can I get this straight? You start off with a square bit of wood.
Yeah.
You saw off the corners.
Not wood necessarily.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You saw the corners off and then you sand it down until it's this round shape.
Yeah.
Why has it got an H in it?
It's a kind of fashion thing. You know, the kids today, they like words.
It's an accessory, is it?
Yeah.
How are you going to control these? Wheels, is it you called them?
Wheels.
How are you going to control them? They're going to roll away all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have... Initially, you have them on leashes. And you can then sort of pull them back towards you.
But, yes. So you've got your Formula One racing car.
Yeah.
So you put a wheel on it.
You put four on, actually.
Four?
Yeah. Four?
Yeah. That's why we need the money.
It'll go in all directions at once, wouldn't it, with four?
We've worked very hard on this. Our initial one did, and we lost it.
Yes.
But now what we've done is we've aligned them. It's a thing called alignment.
Yeah. Is there an H in it? No.
No, there's a pointless G in it, actually.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Tim. My name's Hillary, and I got a lorry. With this here wheel, how's that going to advantage me with my lorry?
How do you get your lorry around?
I drag the bastard.
I can see a health and safety issue here.
Yeah.
Now, I enjoy very much my skateboard at home, but I can imagine putting wheels on it...
Oh.
It would be lethal. And buses. You'd never know where they were. I mean, I know the number 33 bus is at the end of my street. You put wheels on him, goodness knows where he'd go.
You don't want wheels on buses.
Yes,
where
wheels,
I live.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
Well, let me tell you where I am. I'm over here.
Well, clearly you're not going anywhere.
If you had our wheels, you could be over here.
Since Peter Tatchell revealed details of my private life, for that reason, I'm out.
I'll second that. I'm out.
I was never in the first place.
It's very nearly it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to announce the arrivals at the tourists' ball. Samantha has to nip out now as she's off with her new gentleman friend on a visit to Salisbury Cathedral. She says he's very keen on making images of the monumental brasses in the nave, and she's possibly going to help him rub one out in the vestry. So, teams, while she's away enjoying that, I'll ask you to announce the late arrivals at a ball for tourists visiting Britain's many well-known attractions. Graham, can you start, please?
Really welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Swall and their son, Adrian Swall.
Barry.
Mr. and Mrs. Not Too Far, if you fancy a day trip, and their son, Francis, Not Too Far.
Tim.
Will you please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Salisbury Cathedral and their son, Salisbury Cathedral.
They don't get any better, so I shouldn't start. Tony.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. You Can't Really Want to Visit Swindon and their daughter, Shirley You Can't Really Want to Visit Swindon. From Wales.
Yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Fodd and their rather cold son... Ice Ted Fodd.
Welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Two and their son, Theo.
Theo Two?
Yeah.
Very good.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Man's a Bit Weird, You Don't Want to Go There, and their daughter, Isla Man's a Bit Weird, and You Don't Want to Go There.
And a big welcome, please, from Mr. and Mrs. Rat Stadium and their daughter, Emma Rat Stadium. Go, you Gunners.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the double-decker of time gets stuck under the bridge of destiny and the dentist of fate tells his patient not to eat chocolate bars while he's being examined, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Salisbury, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Tony Hawkes have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.